Welcome to the Hey Idiots podcast. I'm Jessica Michelle Singleton. I'm a stand-up comedian and the chief executive idiot over here. When I'm not rambling directly to you, I'm asking all your prying and sometimes ignorant questions to my guests, who are often experts, sometimes fellow comedian friends, and occasionally absolutely batshit insane people who have somehow tricked me into thinking they're knowledgeable about a topic. This podcast is 50% curiosity, 50% insanity, and 100% hilarious. If you like unfiltered rants, prying conversations about a variety of topics, and enjoy a lot of laughter with your learning, you're in the right place. Welcome home, idiots.
Hey, idiot. Hey, idiot. You sing it live. This is what I do when I'm alone. Hey, idiots. There's no turning back now. We're live. We're live streaming. I just have to eat that. I just have to have fumbled the beginning of this podcast, but it's not the first time. It won't be the last. Thank you for joining me. We have another exciting episode of Hey, Idiots. And, we were having fun in the live chat before the show. I don't know what we're calling it. The show before the show, the JMS comedy hour, half hour-ish, was suggested by good old Gene Sinnott, also a consulting content producer on this episode. Whatever it is, we have fun. So join me Tuesdays at 6 p.m. We've got like a half hour pre-show before we start. Live recording every episode, every week, and it's fun. It's so fun, and I was just telling the whole chat about this amazing show that, God, my brain is slipping on, hang on, I'm looking it up. I know I said the name, I know the name of the show, but Nope. There was a show called, there was a show called Comedian Cinema Club, hosted by an incredible comedian named Eric Lampaire, French-born comedian, grew up in the UK, lived in the US for a while, haven't seen him in a bit, love him. And we would reenact, we would drunkenly reenact movies, just the plot points would be in the back, and I played Rafiki. That's how this conversation got started with you, because I, moments ago on the live stream, was holding up my beautiful dog, Moki, and doing the, like, whatever, and I said I used to know the words. I learned them once. Anyway, this venue, I wonder if anyone's doing a show there now. There's this venue that was on Hollywood Boulevard called the Black Rabbit Rose, where they do a lot of magic shows. So think about Hollywood that makes sense that it happens in a town called Hollywood, a city called Hollywood, whatever. I guess we're fucking clearly a city that I don't think enough about. But there is, like, really cool magic going on in Hollywood. We got the Magic Castle, Kookaburra Lounge, which is in the Hollywood and Highland Ovation building, which is just a big kind of mall with lots going on. Does a Magic Mondays. And there was this Black Rabbit Rose place that was kind of like a smaller, it was like an intimate venue, mostly for magicians. But we did this show, and because they do magic there and there's all this crazy stuff that happens, in the back of the room, where I'm sure they do wild surprises, there was like a trap door I could come and surprise everybody out of. So I got to, like, pop out and scare the shit out of everybody just singing that, and then, like, monkey crawl through the audience. And that is not the first time in my life I've been cast to play a monkey. And I'm starting to believe my high school director when he said that he cast me as the king of the flying monkeys in Wizard of Oz, because when I ran across that stage like a monkey during auditions, he'd be goddamn if I wasn't an actual monkey. I've told this story before. We don't know. It pops up sometimes. Wicked's coming out later this week. Got to figure out how much I can get away with at home with singing to Nate. Near Nate. To Nate? I don't know. But I got a lot I want to talk about. Let's start with some idiots in the news. I think we do it the other way around usually, but we're mixing it up. We got great suggestions sent in from our listeners, piled on, sent to me by consulting content producer Gene Sinnott. Some of these are left over from last week. Where do I want to start? You know where I want to start? I want to start in Ireland. There was a lion on the loose, allegedly, in County Clare, Ireland. Locals in County Clare, located in Western Ireland, thought they were hallucinating when they spotted a shaggy tan-coloured creature with a lush mane and tufted tail padding through the wooded area. I really botched that at the end because I was trying to read and apparently couldn't. There was a horror scare that there was a lion on the loose in Ireland. Now listen, does Ireland have a zoo? Maybe. Probably. Maybe not. Do they have zoos in Europe? That feels like a dumb question, but now that I think about it, I'm like, I've never been to one. Have I? No, you know what? I've seen a video of myself as a very small child in the 80s, a little baby being pushed around at a zoo, and that would have been in Germany. So without any further research, I will tell you, yes, there are certainly zoos. It turned out it wasn't at all a lion. It was actually a dog. Shaped like a lion. Shaped like a lion? Shaved like a lion. And that's probably the zoo I went to. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. Can you see a lion? Can you see the dog? If you're watching this right now, because I got excited to tell this first because I was practicing how to pull up an image on the streaming software I have, and it's not coming up where I'm looking. Or has it been there the whole time? And I didn't know that. Anyway, there's a dog shaped like a lion. Shaped like a lion, shaped like a lion. It was like a fresh haircut. But also, what are we doing with these fucking dog haircuts? Enough. Honestly, and don't get me wrong, I get sucked in. I think they're cute. There's a woman named Jess Rona who is famous for her dog grooming. Like, she blew up on Instagram doing these crazy cool videos, but she's around the corner from me. Her studio is like not far away from me. I'm in that same neighborhood. Not her, literally. I mean, sometimes during the day she must be. It's her studio, her dog grooming studio. Salon? It's a salon, right? I don't know what the fuck it is. It's a racket, is what it is. Nate tried to take his dog in there once because it's just close. His dog, rest in peace, sweet Ginny girl, the most beautiful girl on earth. Short hair. There's nothing you can do with it. You know, at least if you have a dog with like big fluffy hair or long hair, she could really like add some bows, add some waves, add some volume. Ginny was a short hair. She's like a lab mixed with a Dalmatian. Like, it's short hair. And they were going to charge him $300. He laughed in their face and then he left. But like, this fucking putting your dog's head in like a perfect like circle of tufted hair and their body's shaved or dyeing their ears. I mean, I'm sorry. What happened to consent? There's no fucking way. That poor dog has no idea that you've made it look like. Maybe it's really cute, but it's an asshole. You're making an asshole out of you. Imagine, I mean, not even imagine. I think I'm triggered, actually, I'm realizing as I say this, because as a child, I was made to have a shitty fucking haircut. It's terrible. That's a nightmare. Just go to a regular groomer, get a trim, keep the hair out of their eyes, you know, keep them from getting too hot in the summertime. But this fucking, your dog shouldn't look like a lion. There's no reason anyone should go, oh, my God, I thought that was a lion. It's like, yeah, well, it's because they have a fucking shitty owner who needs too much attention. Your dog's going to get attention anyway. We need to give it fucking kooky haircut. And then, by the way, the people who do that always seem to be the people who, when you try to interact with them about their dog, they're like, okay. Like, they don't want anything to fucking do with it. They're like, okay, yeah, no. Oh, thanks. It's a fuck you. Your dog has a mohawk. And I can't go, oh, that's fun. And then you look at me like I'm the asshole. Fuck you. I'm taking your dog. I will take your dog. I'm stealing your dog. I can't wait to be so rich. You guys will know. There will be signs. I'll be surrounded by dogs. Moki will, of course, be lording over all of them. But no, I don't think she'd ever allow it. I had a new friend dog sit. Not an old friend, but new first-time dog sitter for Moki this past weekend when we went to Skankfest. I'm going to talk about that coming up. But once again, confirmed this with every friend who has dog sat. I think I have a dog who is reactive on the leash. She doesn't make a peep for anyone else. My dog is quiet and respectable toward other animals, other dogs, regardless of their size, as long as anyone but me is walking her. It is certain now, beyond a shadow of a doubt. My dog thinks that she is my security. She thinks she's protecting me. She thinks I am in peril at all moments and she must defend me until the absolute last moment. Or she just doesn't respect me and she's like, fuck you, I'm gonna bark, bitch. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Pretend to get mad at me? I have gone through phases of really trying to like follow training to get her to be like less reactive, because she will like bark when people go by the windows. We have like big windows, and, you know, you could see, you know, people passing by with their dogs or just characters. Usually if someone's without a dog, she rarely barks, but if she does, I'm always like, what's going on with that person? Or they're a mailman. I don't know what it is. I don't know what like historically mailmen did to the ancestors of dogs that like they will always be hated, but it's clockwork. But then other times she'll get like scared. There's a dogs outside and she kind of barks, but she's grabbing her little bone that she goes to for comfort. And she's like, and she's like scared. And earlier today she was kind of barking and doing that. And I went, oh, be quiet. And she was still kind of doing it. And then I barked at the window to be like, hey, you can't come up here. I went, bah. Hey, you stop that. You're not coming in our house. I did that. And then she quit. She was like, oh, okay. She told the other dogs they can't come up here. And I'm sure someone's listening like, that's not what she did. That's not what she thought. But like, that's how it felt. And in that moment, I was like, oh, I'm crazy. I'm barking out the window at other dogs to help my dog know she doesn't have to bark. It's my fault. I made her this way. I don't know, but what are you gonna do? I love her. I'd never give her a terrible haircut. Nate would say I don't give her enough haircuts. I like to let her get long. She looks wise. She looks sage. The difference, though, when Moki has a fresh haircut, it literally, like, takes years off of the way she looks. She goes to, full puppy when I get her haircut, because the lady will just, she gets shaggy everywhere, but the ears get long, and she'll cut them like a little bob. And that has me thinking, like, oh, if I get a bob, will I look younger? I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's a classic thing that women, as they start to get older, do cut their hair short. When does it go from the bob to that just little, like, tuft where you're, like, sort of this gender-neutral pile of hair on your head? I still have really long hair, and I don't think I'm quite old enough, or maybe I don't telegraph as old enough that my hair length is an interesting choice. People go, wow, long hair for your age. But I do think I'm going to get there. Like, what is the age or the appearance of age where a woman with long hair becomes like, oh, she's a free spirit? You don't see long hair on women that age. I probably will still be that woman. I get it a little. I mean, lately I barely brush my hair. My poor hairdresser. I try to, you know, I'll do it fresh out of the shower but I'm bad at brushing my hair. Luckily, I don't have to brush it as much when I'm doing like a curly hair routine, but it's laziness. And I'm trying to really, I'm really just convinced myself, because people do comment on my hair a lot. And I go, if it's a little chaotic, that's kind of like, you know, my appearance is my brand. Like, maybe that's kind of part of my thing. I'm like wild. But like, I am, because that's me making an excuse to just do the thing that I'm going to do anyway, which is not do anything. But then why can't I just go, this is how I am, instead of going, for the brand. It's good for the brand. It just is my hair. Why? When will I stop talking about brands? People are saying maybe 60. Someone said 70 in the chat. 70. Yeah, I feel like when you start to gray, maybe that's the like telltale sign. But I don't know. I don't even know if like there's people my age who have started to gray. I don't know because I haven't. I'm actually thinking about growing my hair out. I've always had like dishwater blonde, which we got to come up with a better name for that. I mean, do we? I guess it's like, that sounds shitty. It's like, well, maybe my hair is shitty. Maybe the hair color is kind of gross. But with natural highlights is what it used to be, but I've lightened it for so long. And if you've seen me for years, you know, I played with the color back in my 20s a lot, but I was a redhead for a few years. I went dumpster juice blonde. Let's vote. I mean, dumpster juice blonde, dishwater blonde, diarrhea kind of blonde. The blonde, but it sort of looks like the color of skin when someone starts to pass away. Death rattle blonde. Dog mucus blonde. I think I'm going to grow my hair out to the natural and see what happens and just let it just go fully natural for a while. So stay tuned for that. I mean, not literally right now. You can't hear it if you're just listening and you're not going to see it in the next. Semi-jaundice blonde. I've been that. Someone said semi-jaundice blonde in the chat. That is what happens when you let your friend who doesn't know shit about dying hair use a box to try to highlight your hair. And then it just looks like piss. I've had piss colored hair and been like, I'm a blonde. Blondes really do have more fun. And then I look back and I'm like, I look like someone peed on my head. I mean, the amount, and I get the friend rate from Steph Cuesta over at Hideout Salon because we are girls, and I shouldn't say that, but even that, it's like I'm paying. The friend rate is more than a lot of people in some cities would have to pay or be willing to pay. But like, when I look at pictures of me in my 20s going to Paul Mitchell, the school, getting a $50 dye job while I was in college versus now, I'm like, yeah, no, she deserves every fucking penny. She deserves every penny. There is someone in the chat saying natural hair is best because it matches with a person. Sometimes I think that's true. It's like, that's what you're supposed to look like. But is there a world where people's... Listen, that could be argued. But you're going to tell me that all natural tits are better than a couple tit drops? Some people look better with a change. I'm going to go back to my natural hair and then get huge fake tits. I have gray hair just filled with knots. I look like I am an old witch, but then I just get giant jugs. Just up to my chin. Just like, oops. But my face just looks like I'm a 95-year-old sea witch. I like to keep it natural. Big lips. Gray hair falling out in chunks. That's a good point. Deborah Messing is not a natural redhead. There are very few natural redheads. And even the redheads I know enhance their red. Well, some of them also just... Actually, now I'm like, wait. It's the person I first thought of. They might not even be redheads at all. I liked red. We're going on a lot about hair colors. But if you're listening, have you dyed your hair? What were your thoughts? Get over in the Idiots Facebook group. Let me know. Have you tried a color? You're thinking about going back. Is there something that you've always wanted to do that's such a big change? And why do we stop ourselves? I was like a dark, deep red. But because of the fucking shit tit blonde of my natural hair, because it's this like shitty fucking... It looks fine here. She doesn't, in my opinion, does such a good job that my hair now, when it grows out, it still doesn't look as severe. Like, it kind of just blends into it. But it would look gray against the roots. It looked so gray with the red. So I just was like, because I can't keep up with shit, I'm already missing a fingernail. Like, whenever I get fake nails, there's going to be a week where I have like three nails on. It just is life. Is anyone else like this? Sometimes I feel like I am the only woman like that. And then I go, maybe this is why I have a mostly male audience, that like, in my mind, this is like a story I make up about how everyone else is perfect and got it together and I don't, which I don't think that's necessarily a unique thing to do. But like, in my mind, any other woman, if she lost one nail, would go, I got to cancel all my plans and get these nails taken off and redone immediately. And I just go, well, let a few more fall off before we worry about it. Why didn't we go through all the idiots in the news? I'm spiraling today, but that's fine. That just leaves us more to talk about in the future. I want to talk about something that I saw in the news this week. Speaking of fucking idiots in the news, which of course you can always add those in the Facebook group. Go over to my Facebook, facebook.com/JMS Comedy. Join the idiots Facebook group. Shout out to our brand new moderator. Today, we added a moderator, John. He's helping me moderate over there. It was getting out of hand. No one was saying anything mean or hateful, but I always do wonder about that. I worry about that when I go, we can open up discourse. If you have, you go, you know, there's a saying, I kind of feel this way, but I know other people. Okay, this is what I mean when I say discourse, by the way, is like, if you want to talk about something that maybe is theoretically political, going, hey, this to me is, here's how I see this. But very clearly, based on, you know, what I'm seeing on the internet, other people feel this way. What do you guys think? Let's talk about, like, why, or I don't know. I want it to be more of, like, a learning and seeing other people's perspective when stuff like that happens, more than, like, I had to leave a Facebook group that was Anchorage, Alaska, which I just joined to post about shows, I think, when I was up there. I think that's how I ended up in there, was to be like, hey guys, I'm gonna be at the Beartooth Theater, come to the show. And I kept getting pop-ups for it. It was just like all one guy, like, owning it. Was no, it was two guys. There's 54,000 people in this Facebook group. Certainly not all of them are in Anchorage, but I guess I wasn't either. Like, I don't even know if a quarter of them are actually in Anchorage. It's just two guys going back and forth, owning each other, like, extreme liberal meme, extreme conservative meme. And then they started, like, talking shit about each other as if they're, like, big internet personalities beefing. But it's just these two guys, like, two random guys. Like, I was like, is anyone else seeing this? What does this have to do with Anchorage? Like, it wouldn't even be, like, conservative Anchorage news. It was just like, why are we still doing Charlie Kirk memes? Why are we doing those at all? What's happening? Get off the internet. You're in fucking Alaska. You're in the most beautiful place in the world. Hang up the computer. We got to start saying that. You need to hang up Facebook for a while and get out there. Get some fresh air. Tim or whatever the fuck. Anyways, there's a couple people really just like sharing their own posts in the idiots Facebook group. They're like, here's a recipe. Oh, here's my day. And like, look, I don't care. I was going to try to say that nicer, but like, not do that on your own page. We fucking, you're making people, you're turning this into a spam group. And thankfully it wasn't anything heated, but it's just like, this isn't a recipe Facebook group. This isn't a, like, get your life together motivation. I wouldn't even mind that, actually, like, if every once in a while. No. Nobody do that. Anyway, so I added a moderator because I have now made it so posts have to get approved so that people, I'm just thinking of my own experience at that Anchorage group. Kept popping up in my feed. And I was like, I never see my friends' posts. I don't know what anyone's actually doing. There's people who've gotten married and had kids, and I have no fucking clue because they'll never show up. But here's fucking Bob and Tim warring over things that do not affect their life in a Facebook group. We've all lost our fucking minds. Somebody in the chat said, would you trade stylistically perfect choices if you lost 1% of funny? Are you asking? I think what you're asking is, if I could just be effortlessly stylish and like know exactly what I wanted. When I say style, I'm immediately going to my own appearance, but maybe you even mean like design on like the quote, like posters and brands. I don't know how far that extends. If you lost 1% of funny, no. There was a time in my life where I think I wouldn't have said that, but there are very few things. The one thing that has been like the calm in the storm that is the chaos of my own fucking questioning and insecurity and the amount of things that I'll go, I don't know, am I this? Should I be doing that? Funny is something that has just been like an anchor that like, I know I'm funny and I can hold on to that. And boy, there've been, I will say there've been a couple moments where like I have writer's block and I'm not feeling funny. Or just bits aren't coming at the rate I'm used to, which is too much to handle. Hence the thing I was joking about at the beginning of this live stream before we started recording the podcast of like, I have so many undeveloped premises. Why am I doing this thing that will bring me more premises? But there, in those times when I'm just feeling, what I realize is like burnt out, and it's a lot of it for me comes from trying to do the other things, the social media, trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, on like content and the things that you kind of are required to do. But sometimes, what I realize, like you can find the things that you enjoy doing like this and not try to do everything everyone's doing to quote, keep up. But in those moments where I was overextending myself and then just sort of burnt out in a way where my brain was just fucking tired. So I didn't feel as like sharp or like I didn't feel as inspired. And this was over the course of like the last really like year or 2 years. And especially really up until like 2 weeks ago, grief definitely plays into that. But I felt very lost feeling like not as funny. And the reality is me not as funny as I usually am. I mean, I haven't been fired from anywhere. I haven't stopped getting booked. So it's clearly still funny enough to get the job done. And I think we can all agree if you watch stand up regularly and you're, you know, seeing a variety of people, yes, there are different styles for different people and comedy is subjective, but like there's a lot of people really getting pretty far being very mediocre. So I could survive in capitalism as a comedian and be less funny, but like for what? I mean, would I trade being really hot for like 1% less funny? For 1% less funny, if I was like objectively a 10, I'll take 1% off. No one's gonna notice. They're gonna be so impressed that I can even tell a joke. They're gonna think I'm funny. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. Although, you know what I would trade is trauma. I would love to. When people go, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I would love to. You know what? I got through it, actually. Maybe not. Maybe I have hit a point where I'm like, nah, I survived. Like, I would love to have not endured the trauma that led me to certainly, I don't know how much of funny is nature and nurture. There's got to be a combo. I think maybe it's nature, but like nurture brings it out of you. You know, like there's some genes that like only get expressed if circumstances happen. But if I could have been like the amusing person at the office, but sane enough to hold like an office job and or a quote office job, whatever that would have been like. I was really into science and math. Maybe it would have been something in the STEM world, you know, engineering. I have no idea. and just have like stability and like feel sane most of the time, like not have moments where I like, it's fun to go. It's fun to have jokes about it when you're outside of feeling insane, but it's not fun when you're in the thick of it. Like when people just go, I'm so crazy. It's like, it's not a personality. It's not like a cute quirk to be like, sometimes I have anxiety. I'm like, I'm crippled by my own brain. It's like a double-edged sword. Is that what's the word for the thing that, the thing that brings me all my joy is also like, my greatest enemy?
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
But I guess I do love who I am, and would I be who I am? And someone I'm realizing is just sick. Catch 22. Ah, yes. That very popular term that should have come to my brain immediately, a catch 22 of, well, I guess, yeah, of course it's a catch 22 that it's like, but would I love myself anyway? But I probably would have taken me not as long to love myself if I didn't have the trauma. And there is someone in the chat, you know, saying that similar to what I just said of like, I wouldn't trade myself for anything else because it makes me realize how to be who I am, which I love. That's an interesting way to look at it. Silver lining. Silver lining is the positive spin on it. Yeah. Silver lining is taking the fucking, the shitty trauma, but at least I got this. Versus catch 22, where it's like, I can be really funny, but it's because of this shitty trauma. I don't know. And you know why it's on my mind is because I was thinking earlier today, Hollywood fucking loves a story. And I had the opportunity to send in like a 1 minute fucking one of these like selfie videos for something. I didn't get it. I won't even tell you what it is, but it's a comedy related thing. Was I told that I was going to automatically, hey, you send this and you'll definitely get to chat with the producers either way, but just send in this video where you talk about yourself, what you got into comedy. And I made the choice of, instead of using all of my trauma, and there's a pile of it, and going, and it's not untrue to go, you know, comedy has been very healing for me. It's helped me cope with very heavy things. It's gotten me through a lot of darkness, both literally and figuratively. But this was about stand-up comedy, and I just want to be like, I'm funny. Like, yeah, if you want a story, that's what I said in the video. I went, look, you want a sad story? I got a lot of stories. But, like, I work hard, and I'm funny. And I think that should be enough. And guess who didn't get to meet with the producers? Guess who should have known better at this point in their career that you should be like, you didn't mention you were left in a Waffle House. You didn't talk about addiction at all. You didn't talk about losing a family member very recently to suicide. You didn't go, well, let me fucking dust off this turd and turn it into a diamond. No, because I want to be like, being funny should be enough. But Hollywood loves a fucking, oh God, they like jerk off to like, oh yeah, did you struggle? Oh yeah, was it so hard for you? And now you're kind of doing well? Oh yeah, tell us about it. Oh, like, to the point that I literally once had someone who is a friend go, you're so lucky because of that. My friend said, you're so lucky. You've had so many awful things happen to you. And so now you have this like story and it drives you and like it's made you even funnier. And people love that. People love a struggle. And I was like, what? Like, Like, they were like, I wish I had that. I'm like, I wish I grew up feeling loved. But it's like, maybe I'd still do comedy. It is like a pendulum fucking, you either weren't loved enough or you were loved so much that you truly believed you could do anything. It blew my mind. It was like, you don't wish. Dude, you fucking, I think I need to give myself more props for, I need to give myself more props when I, not now, not generally, but like, even when I'm feeling kind of like bad or kind of out of it or crazy or just, by crazy, I just mean like depressed or no, like fully crazy. But, it is like, it's not fun to know you're resilient. It's like a great characteristic to know you have because it gets you further than you would have gotten. Like, thank God I'm resilient. Resilience. I am resilience. Oh, fucking blow my head off. Resilient. Excuse me. Like, and it's, I think it's a gene that should be studied. And I say that because I look at, you know, I have siblings. We all grew up in the same household. And arguably I have addictions and work and snacks, but like, but I never got, you know, I never struggled with, you know, turning to like hard drugs. I'm not sober, but I don't drink that much. Yeah. I drank probably a little too much in my college years, but it was like, okay, we had fun. We partied. And then I've never had a problem with alcohol. Like, some people really have a problem with it. And I do think I believe a lot of addiction with substances is just trying to escape how you feel. And it took me a long time to like realize, you know, there's something to be said about, I white knuckled through a lot of like painful growth and realization and like processing of trauma that it got really scary and dark at times. And it made me realize, you know, I don't know how to say this. This has turned into a weird direction that I didn't think this was going to go. But, having, you know, gotten to the end of my rope, so to speak, figuratively and literally, in the past. That's a story for another time, but, you know, I've been long, long ago, so suicidal, so nothing to worry about now. Thank fucking God or universe or whatever. But having done that and having gone to therapy, having done all these fucking trying different things and meditating and using my art as a way, my comedy to like laugh at the fucked upness of how you feel when you feel like you don't want to go on or you're losing your mind or you just, everything is fucking terrible. And how do you turn off the like cycle of like, everything's terrible. You fucking, it's never going to get better. This is what you deserve. Bop, 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 bop. Like, and finding ways to like turn that into humor. I'm very grateful for, but having felt that, having moments where I sometimes, I'm knocking on wood, it's been a while, but at this point I don't assume I'll never feel that way again. I understand why someone goes, yeah, I'm just going to drink until I don't feel it anymore. But I'm glad you're like processing it or whatever. Like, I've never done heroin, but the idea of just, I once took a painkiller prescribed for pain after a surgery. And I was, it did really turn on a light bulb for me where I went, oh, wow, they work on emotional pain too. That's the problem. I think somebody said something similar to this in the chat, but if you have never listened to the interview, I believe he says it in the interview. I interviewed my brother, Tom, very recently after, as recent as you could have, after he overdosed. And this must have been almost 10 years ago. But he said, well, that's the problem with drugs is that they work. Yeah, and it's, we live in a society, you know, not to circle back to things that aren't even going to be on the podcast, but you know, before this with the riffing, we were talking about our addiction to convenience, you know, Amazon's, the Uber Eats, the, you name it, just bring it to my door. Yeah, we are constantly like escaping discomfort, and you have to be uncomfortable to grow. Like, you have to sit in your discomfort and examine. And a lot of, like, to me, growth, part of it is, you know, you learn to forgive other people. You forgive yourself for the way you acted when you didn't realize that your actions were stemming from trauma. But there's some things, I had to, like, go, I had moments where I had to go, oh, actually, I didn't realize at the time I was being shitty, and I can go, well, yeah, but I didn't know I was triggered, and this was making me feel this way, and so I acted this way out of fear. Sometimes that action, whatever action I took, hurt somebody, and I have to go, that was shitty of me. I wasn't trying to be shitty, but, like, I hurt somebody. I hurt somebody deeply in their feelings because I didn't know how to manage my own. And then even if you start processing, like, the part of yourself where you go, the trauma made me this way, and going, oh, it's not my fault, I didn't deserve this to happen, you can hit the point where you go, oh, but here's how I was shitty. And then that's where I think people go, oh, I don't wanna look at that part. That's, ooh, that don't look at me. And Gene is saying that he's wondering if he didn't have the trauma he does, would I have felt more trauma at other events? Like, is the way I interpret events an inherent trait? I think trauma is relative. I think in terms of what's inherent is, like, being able to get through it, maybe, like, the resilience. I think it's a gene. I think it has to be studied. I think it's a gene.
It's a gene, but it also, I guess, it comes back to the nature nurture talk. Boy, this got deeper than we thought it would, huh? This was supposed to just be silly, but it is, you know, part of how we respond to something must be an innate thing within us, but then also it's like a muscle. Like, been here. Oh, I've been through worse, so I can get through this. Like, it's, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Kelly Clarkson was right. I get it now. Boy, this took a weird turn, guys. I didn't even get to tell you about Skankfest. I'm going to tell you about Skankfest, and then we're going to get out of here. There's no fucking way I'm not telling you about Skankfest on this episode. Skankfest, if you don't know, I don't know how you wouldn't know. There's a large chunk of my fans that are trickled down from other podcasts and podcast worlds that come directly from Skankfest or the Legion of Skanks podcast, which is the podcast that created Skankfest, which is just a huge comedy festival. They've been doing it for I don't know how long now. God, has it been almost 10 years? Christ on a cracker. This was the first one in New Orleans. And if there's two things I love, it's comedy festivals and New Orleans. Well, and this was the best one yet. I hate to say it for anyone who missed it, but I don't know, the venue, the vibe. I always stick out like a sore thumb, I feel like. Everyone's like a grunge, black t-shirt type. And then there's some people who are like fucking ICP level outfits. We're going Hot Topic. Yeah, did I see a group of people after the last night running through sprinklers that came on outside of a convention center and say, it's the lathering of the juggalos? Maybe. But they would have loved that if they heard me. Unfortunately, they were high out of their gourds. Not unfortunately. They probably were really happy about that. But just good people. Great comedy fans. Fun comedians. It's a fucking party. It's like summer camp. It's adult summer camp. And I mean, it was just the best.
The festival was great. All my shows were great. Doug Stanhope kept calling me Rosebud Baker, but he kept calling every woman with blonde hair that. So I just went, well, Stanhope's forgotten all of us except Rosebud. But also he's forgotten her because he thinks we're all Rosebud. And that's fine. You're going to confuse me with Rosebud? I'm like, great. Good. What? Hot? Funny? Absolutely. I'll take that. New Orleans is just the best city. I had some of the best food. There's just nothing like a good jambalaya, a gumbo, red beans and rice, beignets. I really like went to town on, I've been eating healthy and then I went to New Orleans and I was like, nothing counts in New Orleans. And I was on my period, TMI, but I'll find anything. That's how I know I'm addicted to food. I'll use anything as an excuse of like, well, it's Tuesday, so gotta have a snack. Gotta have a full cake. Some guy got my name wrong. Another comic was like a comic out of Philly and he was like new to the festival. And, I do know his name. I learned his name, but I'm not saying it cause it's not about like, fuck that guy. But here's the thing is like, it's par for the course. People are going to be drunk. They're having too much fun at this festival. It's a festival. You know what I mean? It's not the most professional setting you're ever going to see a comedian in. But also to me, and maybe I'm just a fucking dork. And in that case, triple, quadruple thank you to Legion of Skanks and Christine and fucking Rebecca for always having me back. Even though I'm the fucking dork of the group, I feel like I'm everyone's nerdy little sister, but I'm like, yeah, it's a festival, but you should still be professional enough to get, you know, do your set and do your time. The running of the light at these shows, which is inside comedy, but just means people going way longer than they're supposed to. But then this guy going, oh fuck, my ADHD, I can't remember this girl's name. And instead of just bringing me up, not knowing my name, then he then proceeded to do like 10 fucking minutes. Like, just do your fucking, just eat it. If you're not going to think of it, just bring me up. He called me Jessica Rogers, which I don't even know where he pulled that from. And it honestly just makes me laugh, but I do go, am I, like at this point, am I at a point in my career where I should be more upset by that? Where I should go, what the fuck? I just kind of go, well, I got a lot of names and words are hard for some people. Some comedians really struggle. The amount of people over my lifetime in comedy that have been like, do I have to say all three names? It's like, oh, is one more name that difficult for you? A professional talker? You can't name three names, you fuck. But I just go, ah, I don't give a shit. And I don't. But like, he literally did, someone in the chat just said, he made a Jessica Rabbit, Roger Rabbit connection. That's literally later. He was like, I don't know. I panicked. Then I started thinking of Jessica Rabbit. I thought of Roger Rabbit. And then I said, I mean, he was profusely sorry to the point that I was like, it's fine. Like, I would have been less mad if he just did it when his set was up. I'm like, now you're making me wait here knowing you're going to fuck up my name. Knowing, like, I just have to sit here. And the thing about me is, if you tell a joke that I can use as like a segue organically into my material, I love that. And I'll be like, I listen to the comic in front of me because I want to do that so it's seamless. Or like, maybe it doesn't segue into a joke that I have as my material, but I can make a quick joke about it. He kept fucking going so long that I kept having to switch what I was going to say. And at that point I was like, I'm doing a completely different set than I thought I was going to do because we've gone off the rails. But like, how important is a name? What's in a name? Would a Rosebud by any other name get recognized by Doug Stanhope? There's the what's in a name crowd, but then there's the like crucible crowd of like, leave me my name, where he wouldn't sign his name down. And it's like, it's not just ego. I don't know. Just shut the fuck up and get off stage. I'll say one more thing. I did also, we went to the World War II Museum. That's a full day thing. We tried to squeeze it in 2 hours. I went with Nate and dude, no one loves World War II like Nate, except for every other man who's just like Nate. But what a, I don't know. I can't remember how I felt Well, no, that's not true. I felt like this years ago when I went to the Holocaust Museum, and granted, I know that they are intertwined, obviously, World War II, Holocaust, of course, but from the second we stepped into that museum, there was like a palpable energy shift in my body where the whole time I felt like I was holding back tears. It was like I was feeling, I don't know, like the energy of all the loss of that war. But it was like without even having watched something. And I'm not like, you know, I used to want to be a history teacher. I'm aware of a lot of World War II. I'm aware of more of it because I'm dating someone who loves to watch war documentaries, not just World War II, but wars in general. But it was like a palpable, like I could feel the sadness of the people. I don't know. It felt very, and I don't know if that's just like woo-woo. It's New Orleans. You know, it's kind of like, feels like maybe a vortex for spirits. Fuck you, Gene. Gene in the chat just said, as a natural born German, which side were you more sad for? I'm an American. There was a guy, we walked past an interview with one of the guys that they based, not even based, like Band of Brothers. He was like, it was the real guy that was a character in Band of Brothers. But he talked about seeing, running into a guy who he knew from Portland, who, you know, they'd been like, who joined the Aryan Brotherhood. They were like, come back to Germany and fight for us. And he had, and he's like, how are you feeling about that? Like out on a road, on the roadside during the war. And he's like, I made a huge mistake. But I mean, how many people felt like they made a huge mistake? But also how many people just fucking went off to war? I don't know. I mean, also when you look up the amount of money these guys were making, not a lot for, putting your life on the line. I'm sure it was relative, but and that's not why people did it. Blah, blah, blah. But like, I don't know. It did start making me, I was getting mad at like the past government that like after World War I, we did this big treaty about how like, we're not going to enter wars. We're not going to, there was a whole thing about us not dealing arms. That was an agreement the US made that like, we won't deal arms to countries so as to not be at all involved in wars. And then today I turned on a podcast and it was like, we're selling F-35s to Saudi Arabia. It's like, the other news thing I was going to talk about, the idiot in the news, is about Trump. And I know I don't always do Trump stuff, but like last week he said that they were going to start denying visas to fat immigrants. What? Like, if you're not healthy, you can't come into America. And like, oh, yeah, because we're a beacon of health. And it's like, I guess the justification was, if they get sick, if they have health issues, that's now a burden on our system. It's like, the system's a fucking burden anyway. And even if they were doing that, why is that? I mean, I guess I understand from the point of headlines that love to just go like, what's the shittiest thing that we could make the headline? Why they grabbed onto that. But it's like, maybe make the focal point, how can we make America healthy? Why don't we fucking, a burden on the healthcare system? The healthcare system sucks. Anyway, I'm just mad about it. I'm so fucking, fat immigrants. All right, okay, touch your toes, Trump. Bend down, touch your toes, stand back up, put your arms in the sky just once before you go shouting out things like that. Quit throwing stones from your McDonald's playhouse, okay? Jesus. Live and let live and let people have some treats is what I say. Okay. I'm gonna get out of here. Thank you for listening, for participating, if you were in the chat. One more thing I did want to say. I went to a tarot reading. I did a couples tarot reading with Nate. And like we both each got to draw cards. And Nate, if you don't know, is my boyfriend. He's also my manager. He's he works at a really great company called Mosaic. He's an incredible manager and he's fucking crushing it. But the tarot card reader did go and I knew immediately that this was about someone else or a different prototype of people, because also the people who are responsible for, you know, hiring me and paying my checks are various club owners, various producers, depending on the project, you know, head writers, if it's a writing project, maybe comedians. But it was funny sitting next to him, and I asked, you know, oh, could you draw cards about my career and just see, like, you know, what the cards say. And the tarot card reader, I don't know what to call her, psychic, tarot card puller, spiritual guidance counselor, she was like, there's some type of manager or responsible party who just is really, really making bad decisions left and right. Just a real idiot. You gotta, you know, just don't take anything this person says or the actions they're taking. You know, there's been a shift, but you take it with a grain of salt. They don't know what they're talking about. And immediately I think of something completely unrelated to Nate, but not unrelated to my comedy career. But it was funny sitting next to Nate, who is by definition my manager, which really a talent manager is more of someone who, like, procures and filters the incoming work. They get you more work, but they also, like, you know, make sure I don't have to deal with, like, shoddy fake offers and stuff. He's like a gatekeeper for that. But it was funny sitting next to him, hearing that. She also was like, seems like there's a lot of bitchy, gossipy women at your place of work, whatever you're working in. Just don't even pay attention to them. And I was like, oh, well, 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 excuse me. Don't worry about it, whether or not they're gossiping about you. And I'm like, okay, well, I am now. Fucking, who are these fucking bitches at the festival gossiping? You gossipy ass bitches? No, it was fun. He does work for Just the Tip. Hello. Listen, guys, this was fun. This was fun. I was going to talk about so many more things. What I'm learning when I actually prepare for the show is that I over-prepare. And I don't think that's a bad thing. And I know some of you listening are going, wow, for someone who over-prepares, you really didn't seem prepared at all. But I had a lot more topics I wanted to cover is what I want to say. But I'm learning. You're going to go off on a tangent. You don't have to. It's like when I first started headlining, I would make a set list so long and be like, this is probably 45 minutes. And I would do half of it. And I'd go, oh, good problem to have. Good problem to have. Listen, this has been great. I'm going to sign off from the podcast. If you are listening, I appreciate you. If you haven't left a review or a rating, please do that anywhere you can, that you're listening, anywhere you listen, anywhere you can would be great. You want to take a second and hit all the spots, Spotify, Apple. I don't know what the fuck else is out there. Go over to YouTube, give it a thumbs up. Join us live for the pre-show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Uh-oh, my brain's running out of steam. I've steamed out. You can see me live lots of places. I'm going to be in Cincinnati and Louisville and San Francisco in December, and then a bunch of fun dates coming up in the new year. We got Minneapolis, Austin, Portland, Indianapolis. Couple other places already on the books are coming soon. Washington, D.C., right at the beginning of the year. I'm so fucking excited to be back in D.C. I'm gonna take to the streets. I did find out I can't do a Segway tour in January, which is a bummer, but you think I'm not going to cause a scene? I might cause a scene. I might cause a scene. I'm going to sneak in fat immigrants. That's what I'm going to do. I'm busting them in. How about that? Listen, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient with my ignorance. We'll see you next time. I love you, idiots.
Oh, there you go. Another solo episode of Hey Idiots Podcast, which was recorded live after a bunch of riffing during the JMS Comedy Hour Live that I am now doing every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on my YouTube channel. So come hang for that. You can riff, you can join in, you can just sit back and watch the chaos unfold. How are you feeling about these episodes? Are you loving them? Are you hating them? Do you wish you could submit Idiots in the News stories to me? Or do you have a story of a time you were an idiot or an idiot in your life, go over to the Facebook group. It's just called Idiots. It's linked in wherever you're listening to this. Join. Leave a message. Leave a post. Comment on the post I do weekly asking for stories. Would love to hear from you. Love engaging. And I hope you're having a good time with these episodes because I'm having a damn blast. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient with my ignorance. I'll see you soon, idiots.